the person has not repented, it's just a curse that is waiting for the person. I didn't say it, it's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. So fathers and mothers are very, very important. Amen. Hallelujah. And because without those people, God would not have been able to bring us forth into the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Even Jesus, God needed one of the two. He needed a woman to carry Jesus. Even though Jesus did not have a physical father, his father is God Almighty. Hallelujah. Yes, through the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, a virgin, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Someone said in a manger. Hallelujah. But it is manger and not manager. Hallelujah. Laid him in a manger. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's very important. So God takes it very seriously when people don't honor parents. The Bible says that he who curseth his father or mother will die the death. Hallelujah. Some of the verses say birds will pluck out their eyes. Hallelujah. All sorts of wild things. Now someone will ask, why is this the case? Why does God take it so seriously? Because God created all mankind. God created everything that exists, the atoms, the molecules, no matter what it is, once it is present, it existed only through God. So, but for human beings, even though God created us, God needed the father and mother to bring forth the child. Hallelujah. So no matter what, the father is a wizard. God will fight you when you fight your parents. The father or mother, the mother is a prostitute, and you fight the mother, you curse the mother, God will fight you personally, even though she's a prostitute. Hallelujah. Your father is chasing you to kill you with a machine gun. When he sees you, boom, he shoots, and then you dodge, and you fight him, you're in trouble. Because that is a principle. Of course, God will deal with the parent also. That's why the Bible says that. And fathers, if I look at Ephesians 6, let's start from verse 1-3, I believe. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. So it's very important that we understand the principle. Of course, when I talk about fathers, it would also apply to mothers, but especially fathers. I mean, women must also acknowledge that a woman carried a child. God, who is the creator of the universe, and no woman is smarter than God. God has made the father, the head of the home. Hallelujah. And certain privileges God has given to the father that he has not given to the mother, even though mothers, without mothers, even the fathers would not exist. Hallelujah. Because without a woman, a man would not be able to exist. What do you think?
That's right.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2. Going to verse 3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Actually, we're going to verse 4. So honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Then verse 3 says, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So God is telling you and I clearly that if we honor our father and mother, there is a promise attached to that.
Amen.
And God, if you realize in the Bible, you don't see many verses that say, and God has promised, do this and that. There are verses like that, but you don't see so many clear like this. So this is a recipe for you doing well in life and living long on the earth. And this is talking about biological parents. Honor your father and your mother. The verse 1, I'm sure it is for spiritual and all the different types of parents. Hallelujah. But verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Then what will happen? Then that it may be well with thee. That it may be well with thee. Look at it in Amplified, verse 3. That it may be well with thee. Hallelujah. That it may be well with thee. Amplify, please. Okay, that's Amplified. That all may be well with you and that you may live long. Let's look for NLT. Let's see how NLT is. Just to see the different ways it said. And this is the first, and this is the promise. If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life full of blessing.
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Very clear.
So who wants to live a good life full of blessing? All of us. But God has shown us how to do it. Honor your father and mother. Now let's go to verse 4. King James. Thank you. Now, if I let's leave it. Okay, good. King James, and then we'll look at it in NLT again. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is something God has also told the parent. But at the end of the day, there's no verse that says that parent, if you don't do this, you are not going to get, you understand? It is up to the child. Now let's look at it in NLT. And now a word to you fathers. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. You see? Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. So it means that parents, you've given birth to a child and we want the children to do well in life and to live long. So watch how you treat them so that you don't provoke them to dishonor you, because that will be unprofitable for them. What do you think?
Yes.
But at the end of the day, whether or not the parent is doing that, it's up to the child who wants to live long and do well to do the right thing. Hallelujah. So I want to just share with us about fathers. Now, this would also this would also include spiritual parents. Hallelujah. Now, someone will say, how many have heard the verse where Jesus said, don't call anyone father? Many people have asked me that question so many times.
Yes.
How many want to know how many know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Matthew 23:8-10. Oh, it's only Pastor Elam and his wife and Abigail who have heard that verse. I didn't see hands up. Yeah. Hallelujah. Matthew 23:8-10. You've not paid attention. Yeah. So many people have asked that question. I'm sure some might be asking. Okay, let's use NLT. Very good, and then we'll come back to King James. But as usual, King James is the standard, and then we move around. Don't ever let anyone call you rabbi, for you have only one teacher, and all of you are on the same level as brothers and sisters. Now, before we move on, you remember the Bible says that. You do not have anyone to teach you, but the anointing or the Holy Spirit that is in you teacheth you all things. So it means that there's only one person who can teach us everything. No human being can do it. So don't give any person that title rabbi or teacher with a capital T, because there is only one teacher, and that teacher is God. He can teach us everything. Even as I'm preaching now, some people, the Holy Spirit has not given it to them directly. So they'll listen to it and say, this message, I don't know what it did for me. While someone else will take the same message and the Holy Spirit will touch that person with the message and to bring forth fruit. That's why the Bible says that it is the anointing that teaches you all things.
Right.
How many get what I'm saying? So no one should give any human being that kind of title of the all-knowing teacher. Now let's look at it in King James, and then we'll move to verse 9, NLT, and then King James. What do you think? But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are brethren. Okay, now verse 9. We're going to verse 10. So verse from 9 and then 10. Good. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. So don't call anyone father. But you see that, let's go back to, and call no man father upon the earth, for your one is your father which is in heaven. Very good. Now go to NLT for this. And don't address anyone here on the earth as father. You see the capital F. For only God is in heaven is your spiritual father, who is the father who gives everything. There is only one father who can provide everything we need. There is no other who can provide everything we need. This is because no human being could truly be all that a father is supposed to be. All fathers are deficient, apart from God.
Yeah.
So you and I cannot give the title father, capital F, to any human being. All men fall short of this rule, and only the Heavenly Father truly exemplifies what a father is. Now look at verse 10. And don't let anyone call you master, for there is only one master, the Messiah or Mashiach. King James. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. I think the master one is easy. I mean, I don't know. I will not call anyone master, even though they have Lord this in England, master this. I'll call you by your name. Hallelujah. So, but teacher, that means many of us have fallen short with our school teachers. What do you think? That means everyone has broken Jesus' rule by calling. How many have called people teacher? Teacher Kofi, teacher Matthew. So it means that we've broken that rule. But do you think Jesus was saying that don't call any, that means what do we call them? Maybe we'll call them instructor. My instructor in primary school, my instructor in high school. No, you call them teacher, but not capital T. Do you understand? Otherwise, Paul broke that rule many times. And even John the Revelator. John the Revelator. Now, someone will say Paul was someone who was trying to bring all sorts of Hellenism. Some people have foolish theories and all that. So let's, even those people, what about John the Revelator? Mm-hmm. Look at 1 John 2:1. Now, if you are referring to someone as little my children, it means that you are the spiritual father. And he couldn't have had all his biological, that means he must have been with many women to have a whole church as his children. But this says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He was writing to the church, an epistle to the church, a letter to the church. How many get what I'm saying? Right. And Paul also. Or Saul of Tarsus, who became Apostle Paul. Look at 1 Timothy. It's important to lay this foundation before we can even do anything. So that it debunks all the high thoughts that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. What do you think? 1 Timothy 1:2. Now let's talk about, I have three for Apostle Paul. Since you wrote about nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. Hallelujah. Amen. And Peter said, Paul's words are the word of God. Scripture. Hallelujah. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. My own son in the faith. What do you think?
Yeah.
2 Timothy 2:1. So 1 Timothy 1:2, 2 Timothy 2:1, 1:1:2, and 2:2:1. That's it. 1:1:2, 2:2:1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 4:15. Yes. Now we read it today. This one is the nail that is driven into the board.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For though thou have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. So Apostle Paul and Apostle John could not have been wrong. They are 100% right because that's scripture. Now Apostle Paul is saying, for even though we have 10,000, meaning that we have many instructors, who are some of my instructors? Some of my instructors are Smith Wigglesworth, who has passed away, Catherine Kuhlman, who has passed away, Kenneth Hagin, who has passed away. Those are, Billy Graham, very good. All these are my instructors. Amy Simple McPherson, some of these people are instructors who have just given you some words to boost. But my spiritual father is Bishop Dakiwood Mills. So that's, he teaches the word. I listen to his messages a lot. So I can't call one of the bishops Creflo or T.D. Jakes or Bishop T.D. Jakes or some of the others who are teaching fine messages that bless me. I can't call them my father. How? But there are people who are misplaced in their understanding of this scripture and spiritual things, and they call many people who they've never met or who don't know them or who don't speak, who don't speak having them in mind as their fathers. Many people do that. But there are many people who are spiritual children to these mighty men of God, Bishop T.D. Jakes, Reverend Lord, and all these people, because when they are preaching, they have those people in mind. Those people know him. How many are getting what I'm saying? So when any blessing comes to them from Bishop T.D. Jakes and the others, similar to me saying that my inheritance will come from Bill Gates. So for me, I don't know, he's my father, and when he dies, I'm expecting an inheritance. I'll go to jail for some time if I go to that courtroom. Why? Because the fact that I say it doesn't mean it is true in theory, or hallelujah. The fact that I say it does not make it true. In the same way, the fact that you say someone is your spiritual father that never has made it true, at least in terms of God and in terms of inheritance. It's just, you've said it. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, said it. Does that make me a star?
No.
Yeah. So many people must understand who their spiritual parents are. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are fed by someone, that's what Apostle Paul was saying. You have 10,000 many instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers? Yeah. Fathers are not that many. We are talking about fathers in the Lord are not that many. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. How many can understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's very, very important for us to understand who fathers are. Hallelujah. Now, as we go on, I'm going to explain to us the fatherhood, really, or the different types of fathers. What do you think? And you can also add mothers to the place that fits, because Bishop's spiritual mother is Betty. Hallelujah. That's his spiritual mother. So that's what, so she will fit into some of the things I'm about to explain. May you be a spiritual mother in Jesus' name. I said, may you be a spiritual mother in Jesus' name. Yes, a correct one. Yeah. They are correct spiritual mothers and they are correct spiritual fathers. So we must be spiritual parents. Aim to be a spiritual parent. Aim to be someone who is not only concerned about your biological child. Of course, every woman here will have a child or children. But what I'm saying is that when you have your child, how many have children now? Of course, all of you have children. But Antoinette and Randa, now, don't aim that Jennifer, thank you. It shows how young she looks. That's why you bypass her. And Kim, it shows how young you are. Hallelujah. Oh, you say amen to that. So those who have children, don't make your aim or focus, I have children. Let me relax now. I've done my duty. No. Aim for spiritual children also. Aim for spiritual children. Aim for people who God will use you to bring them into Christ.
Amen.
Aim for God to use you to make them spiritual.
Amen.
Aim for God to use you to bring them and put them into the ministry.
Amen.
Betty is not a pastor. Maybe she is now. I don't know. But she's brought forth a bishop, or God has used her to bring forth a bishop. Hallelujah. So even if you are not a pastor, God can use you to bring forth pastors and bishops.
Amen.
What do you think?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
There are many things that our parents or biological parents didn't tell us about. Maybe, how many are getting what I'm saying? How many can identify with that? Yeah, there are many things. And there are many things that the person who gave, who witnessed to you and you gave your life to Christ never told you about. Or, Jennifer, the one who spoke to you and you gave your life to Christ, did they tell you everything you know about ministry or about church or God? Yeah. Now, there are 9 fathers in our lives. 9. Hallelujah. 9 fathers. Number one, the most important father, Luke 11:2. Let's start from 1, but it's 2. This father is all sufficient.
Amen.
You don't need anything from anyone once you have this Father. But he has set things such that even though he's all sufficient, you still need another. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Many people have misunderstood this scripture. The next verse I'm about to read, many have misunderstood it. This, the Lord's Prayer is a model for prayer. Lord, teach us to pray.
Yes.
The New Testament, anytime there is a prayer and you don't hear at the end or you don't see at the end in the name of Jesus, it's a model. Because if you don't use the name of Jesus, it's like saying, where is the cat? It has come home. Or twinkle, twinkle, little star. If you don't use the name of Jesus, no meaning. It's meaningless. Yes. The only thing God will accept is salvation prayer. But, oh God, I pray. I pray for this job. God, give it to me. Oh, I'm about to die. God, help me. Help me. Amen. Sorry. Waste of time. Waste of time. I'm not teaching on 100% answered prayer, but I can show you the verses. They said, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. For verily I say unto you, whatsoever I shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. All the time, Jesus was saying, in my name. When I preach on 100% answered prayer, if you look at the podcast, you see it there. 100% answered prayer, it explains clearly. Bishop has also written a book. I'm sure it's somewhere here. 100% answered prayer. Actually, I was preaching from his book, 100% answered prayer. And it's very clear that by the time you finish that message or read that book, there'll be no, it will be without ambiguity. Because you and I have no access to the throne room without Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he sees one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples, verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so in earth. Or thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Okay, we all know the Lord's Prayer. I don't need to go into it. But my point here is, and he said, them, when you pray, say, Our Father. So the first Father is our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
He is the most important Father.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Our what? Heavenly Father. Most of us have the impression that the Heavenly Father is an angry God who would have burnt us all up if it had not been for the intervention of Christ. How many have thought that before? It's like God, Uzzah, he killed him immediately. Old Testament, if you joke, you are dead. So therefore, it's Jesus who actually brought that tender love of God to us. I've thought that in the past before. Is it just me? No. But God's love is because of God's love that Jesus came. God's love is so great that he sent Jesus. It's not as if Jesus came to minimize his forcefulness or his anger. No, actually, Jesus came to satisfy God's wrath. It's because or God's laws or satisfy his condition for us. It's actually because of God's great love that Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave. How many are getting what I'm saying? Jesus, John the Baptist, I believe, said that Moses came with the law, but Jesus Christ came with grace and truth. So it is the truth, the law, but there's also grace. Because all the law was trying to just bring forth the grace of God through Jesus Christ. It was just pointing us to Christ. Hallelujah. So God is the loving God who is all sufficient, El Shaddai, the almighty God, the all-breasted one. Before formula, a woman, if your breast milk wasn't coming, the child is in trouble. If the breast milk wasn't coming, that's why infant mortality, there was a time that it was very high. Hallelujah. But God is all sufficient because the breast milk has everything the child needs. Everything that boosts the immune system, does so many things. But some women overdo it. Ah, yeah, the child is 2 years old, a year and a half, a year, why? Are you in what is good? What is the yeah, sometimes it gets to child abuse. What is the point? Is it is there a need? Why? I don't mean it in a negative way, but is there a need that you need something to belong to you so much that you have to? Why? 2 years, why? Teeth. That's why they bite the they bite you to show you that it's time.
Release me.
Release me. Hallelujah.
It's a message.
Yeah. Anyway, I have my theories asked. But usually 6 to 8 months at least generally is enough. It's enough. Some will say 9, which holds. But 6 to 9 months, 6 to 8 to 9 months is enough. Hallelujah. For me, if I have a C, 8 9 months max.
Yes, 9 months.
Don't yeah. Yeah, that's too long. For me, mine is 6 months, actually. But someone who is like, oh, you know, blah, 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 maybe the child is premature, whatever. But 6 months is max for, I mean, hallelujah. But medically, there are some rules. I'm not a doctor. Medical is 9 months. That's why I'm not a doctor. But medical is 9 months. A close look at the story, but the 2 years is unacceptable. How many know of people who have beaten the woman and the woman doing breastfeeding? Yeah, it shows that we are wrong. But like Sister Nkem said, 9 months should be the cap. Yeah. A closer look at the story of the prodigal son shows the attitude of the father towards his sinful children. The prodigal son is an example of how God is so loving and his mercies are so high and wide. That song, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy shall never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It was not in the New Testament. It was the Old Testament. It shows how great our God's love is for us. And you can see from God the Father's love for us, how people would reject him. Reject him and reject his love. Go their own way. And when they are almost useless, they come to him. And instead of God saying, look at you, you see, before they even reach him, he runs to them.
Wow.
And hugs them. Yes. And brings them back to himself. That's the God we serve. I said, that's the God we serve. Great love. What a love. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Look at Luke 15, 20 to 24. That is the love. Luke 15, 20 to 24. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That is the God we are serving. That's how he does things. And then continue. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe for the one who has done wrong and squandered half of my money and on foolishness. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand, a ring that shows that he is a son, and shoes on his feet. We are going to 24. Very good. And bring hither the fatted calf, the best calf, and kill it and let us eat and be merry.
Wow.
For this my son was dead and is alive again, spiritually dead. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He loves us. Although we sin 10,000 times, he still loves us. Number two, Matthew 23:9. Number two, our biological father. Your biological father is important. That's why if someone comes to me and says, please officiate my wedding, and the parents do not agree, I don't know how you'll be able to force me to, I don't know how you get me to officiate the wedding, because I have to honor the person who God used to bring them to the world. I don't know how. I don't know how. I have rather, what I have done, when parents have told people that I'll never today, tomorrow, allow you to marry, what I do is that I join them in prayer. And I give them strategies to speak to the parent. Strategies. And about two of them, three, I've actually gone with the member to the mother to beg her. Yeah, I've gone, I beg, please let her marry the man. I've gone to beg with people, church members. I mean, I get what I'm saying. Also, then the other two, I've gone to sit down, and the fact that the father saw me, he said, okay. At least they saw, you've come with your pastor. You show me that respect. Okay.
Yeah.
That's after praying and fasting.
Right.
And they said, never.
Wow.
Another one, it was a mother. And the same thing. But if after all that they said, yes, they can marry when I'm dead, then I say, you know what? I'm not married. Oh, you want to marry? Oh, please marry, but it's when I'm dead that you marry. Just leave it. I'm not going to be part of it. Why? Because the biological father and mother have a role that will not be taken away by God. And I will not want to change that. This is the father from whose seed you were born. This person is often the one who receives the recognition of a father. Is everything okay at the back? Are you trying to distract me? Or is everything okay? I always pray that God will send, because when you see I'm looking, it means I can easily be distracted because of the hallelujah. This person is often the only one who receives the recognition of a father. I always pray that God will send fathers into the lives of my children to help them at different stages of their lives. I'm reading, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, call no man your father. He knew that no earthly person could single-handedly father anyone. Amen. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, our biological father and mother are very important.
Yes.
If there's anyone here who's had an issue with your biological parent, sort it out quickly. You don't need to be right. Yes. You don't need to be right. There are certain people, if it's somebody else, you can fight to be right. But your parents, you don't need to be right. There was a time, how many have been angry with your biological parents before? I've been angry with my father and my mother. Remember there was a time my father misunderstood me. I was sitting there and I had genuine intentions. I didn't have any plans. And he was blasting me about something that was not the case. Because I was just trying to do something. It had nothing to do with what he was saying. I was very upset. But I realized that I don't even need to explain it. I don't need to be right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Right.
I was almost in unforgiveness. I was very upset. It was my sister who said, the way you're behaving, the way you're talking, it looks like you've not forgiven. I'm talking about when I was a pastor. It's not when I was in the world. Yeah. And she said, David, the way you're talking, it looks like you have unforgiveness. I didn't say like many that, oh, how, no. I said, I paused and said, let me think about it. I said, yes, it's true. So I fixed it. Fixed it. You gotta fix it.
Amen.
Gotta fix it.
Amen.
Gotta fix it. Because that is a spiritual principle. We are gonna go past time. It's Father's Day. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Very important. Now, how do you honor your parents? Yes, it's a question. Yes. Not a complex, just a quick answer.
Yeah. Forgive. So you can honor them by, okay, so for instance, I didn't grow up with my dad. I never knew him. I never saw him.
Mm-hmm.
So practical example of honoring him was when I was going to get married, mm-hmm. I deliberately made an effort, phone calls, whoever I could, you know, find,
yes.
family. And then I realized that he was in Nigeria, I was in Ghana.
Yes.
So I told him, oh, I'm getting married. And he was so happy because this was almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen him. So Bishop was preaching this particular message and I took it to heart and I said, no, if you want to do well, honor him. So I invited him to come. So
yes.
he came for my engagement. He was there for the wedding and he walked me down the aisle, which is
That's
something
it.
That nobody can substitute.
Yes.
So that is a way I honored him. And the fact that he stood up and said, I mentioned his name. I do give my daughter Antoinette. You know, that's a blessing
yes.
that he gives you. Even though he's never given me a cent in my life, that is, you know, something that you can do. So basically making sure that you make amends with them. Amen.
Very good. Yeah. Let's put hands together for you. That was very good. One more person.
Respecting them, listening to their advice, going to them for advice, and actually incorporating their input into your life.
Yes. You see, yes. So, very good. Let's clap for her. Okay, just one more.
We should also remember to take care of them in their old age.
Yes.
Yeah, and provide for them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
Fiscally, mentally, and
very
emotionally.
Good. Yes. Yeah. In their old age, very good. So all of you have said very important things. Now, it's important to note that, look at Matthew chapter 15. We'll start from verse 1. I try to find out what it means, because when God says something, we must remember that the way he sees things or what his definitions are might be different from our definition. So if God says honor means this, it might be different from what a human being says is honor. If God says this is how you love me, it's different from how I would interpret love to be. Like Jesus said, what will you consider love from your spouse when you get married? Give it quickly, please. Quick. Yes.
Attention.
Yes.
And gifts.
Yes. So attention and gifts. Very good. Let's put our hands together for it, because that's the general rule. But to God, it's different. To God, he says, if you love me, you keep my word. You understand? So if you love me, you will keep my word. That's God's definition of love. Even though he likes the attention. Oh, God loves the attention. And he loves the gifts. He loves the gifts. Hallelujah. But he hates, not that he hates, yes, but, so how many can see that? That's why it's important to know what God sees. Now, in the same way, what does God say honor is? Including what we've said. Matthew 15:1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whosoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now let's go back to verse 4, NLT, and then I don't need to say too much. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to verse 3. Let's start from verse 3. Jesus replied, and why do you by your traditions violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. But you say you don't need to honor your parents by caring for their needs, just like Sister Jennifer was saying, if you give the money to God instead. And so by your own tradition, you nullify the direct commandment of God. So I think this was pretty clear. Self-explanatory. It's very clear what it means to honor your father and mother. Just, yeah. Because I try to search, because I want to know, I want to live long and do well. So I tried, what is it that God sees? So someone might take it to be how we humans think of it and might not give a dollar and might be saying good things about them. That is honor, but that might not hold as much as doing it the way God said. So it means that everything we've said, which is respect, taking care of them. And even if your parents are millionaires, yes, it doesn't change that fact that you still need to honor them. that's very important. Also, if your parents, before you get married, if your parents says jump high, you have to ask how high, once it's according to the will of God and it's not breaking any law of God. For example, many parents don't go to church. Why? This church is too much. Just go once. Don't go two, three times. That one, you have to keep going back and forth to make them understand. Push your way through without dishonoring them. I'll give you a true story of a lady who called me and said that her mother borrowed her car and went to her girlfriend's place and did some things that she was not supposed to do, and did different things that were not supposed to be done. So she cursed the mother out. This is a Christian in the church who cursed the mother out and told her never to use the car again. So she was telling me so that I'm going to say good job. And I said, that's unacceptable. Quickly, before we talk, I don't need to hear anything. Quickly call your mother and tell her that you are very sorry. Forgive me for what you've done before we continue. When she did that, and I told her that next time, tell the mother that, mom, I don't like what you did. I don't accept what you did. If you are going to use my car to go and do drugs or whatever, I don't like what you did. Don't do that again. Please, don't use my car again. If you are going to do that, don't use my car again. But don't curse her out. Right. So she apologized and told the woman again what I told her to say, which is that don't use my car again for this, blah, 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 but never curse her out. So these are all honor. When you are married and your parent is advising you, honor the parent by listening to what the parent is saying. Take the instructions the parents are saying. If the thing is totally different from your course, then you decide with your family what to do. Hallelujah. Yeah. Nevertheless, holding what your parents are saying as important in your weight, consider it very well. Moses considered his father-in-law's advice very well. Otherwise, he would have died early. Because he was always talking to people. Always talking. I can understand. When I was in Minneapolis, sometimes DFW, but Minneapolis, we haven't gotten to that stage yet. But we'll get there.
Amen.
I'll be in the office. People, constant. 3 a.m. 4 a.m. I'm going to work the next day. Every Tuesday without fail. Every Sunday without fail. 4 a.m. Packed. And Abigail, at that time there was Clara in the past. After that, Abigail or at the door, because they will need to, people, otherwise there will be chaos, because we need to time it. If there are 20 people who want to see you and it's urgent, you have to time the thing. Otherwise, nobody will. Otherwise, I'll not be able to go to work, because at 9 a.m., when I'm supposed to be working, people will be waiting. And you want to be fair to someone. Yeah. And so one person can take 2 hours easily. And they are very angry with her when the time is up. How much? And that's someone has to do it, but Moses. So the father-in-law said, look, you die if you are with, because all the children of Israel from morning till evening. So the father-in-law helped. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important. You understand?
Yes.
It's very important. So listen to the advice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it doesn't mean that you have to take everything that is said. If a mother tells the daughter, which I've heard a number of times, look, you are getting old. You need a man to look after you. Go and get a married man. Just let him impregnate you. You don't have, and the mother is forcing you. That's what I'm saying, that you have to also know what to, the advice to take. Number three, your father in Christ. Don't worry, I'll go past the time, but not too long past the time. Your father in Christ. This is the person who brought you to the Lord. He or she is the one through whom you gave your life to Christ and became a born-again Christian.
Right.
But many times, your father in Christ or mother in Christ could be someone who preached one time and that was it. But nevertheless, that's still the same. But it's even more profound if the person who spoke to you and you gave your life to Christ is in your life.
Yes.
Your spiritual father. Don't forget that person. Don't forget that person. One day, God was speaking to me. I knew it was God. One person who had been praying for me, who spoke to me, who witnessed to me when I was a high school student, when I had started working, everything, I remembered him and honored him. Remember, God's honor, God's way of honor. Hallelujah, I remembered. Because I realized that, look, this thing, you have to honor everyone who God has used. Because by honoring the person, you are telling God that, yes, you use that person, and I'm honoring that person for you. What do you think? But unfortunately, there are people who would take the same person who God used to give you, who God used to speak to you for you to give your life to Christ. Now you are mature. Now you are, now you are grown. So now you can speak and direct and correct and find fault with the person. And now you can point to the person and say that this person is this and is that and is that, because you are co-equal. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
But that is not of God.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
So everyone here who knows who their spiritual father is or mother, honor them. How many have heard Betty? Oh,
yeah.
Betty. Because Bishop has decided to honor her. It doesn't take from you. It rather shows God that you know what you are doing.
Yeah.
You know how to honor. So
yes.
It boosts you up.
Yes.
What do you think? It boosts you up. Yeah. But many people feel that that's going to demote me. No. And there are many times that the spiritual parent would also be your father in Christ and will play many roles. Or you can have a biological father who would play all those roles. What do you think?
Wonderful.
This would make you do well. Now, ladies and you see, because it is, you see, we must love and cherish and honor them, because it is because of them that we will one day go to heaven.
Amen.
There's one guy who came to church in Philadelphia. And when Reverend Fletcher did the altar call, he didn't give his life to Christ. And what I usually did at that time, which I still do, when the opportunity arises, is I went to each person. I went to him and I said, "Are you a born again Christian?" Then he was trying to brush me off. So he said, "Sure." Then I said, "What does it mean to be born again?" I said, I don't even remember what I said, but I said, you must be born again or else, whatever, whatever. He was angry and very offended. Went home. It rang in his mind. Do you know why? Because this person used to serve God back in his country, in Ghana. Very committed and came here, did religious studies or whatever happened to him. He became an atheist. Whoa. And surrendered. He's now a missionary.
Wow.
Anytime he sees me, wherever he will just kneel down and say, pray for me right there.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Because he's understood. Not that I'm always trying to hide from that. But at least it shows he's understood something. And it's just those questions I asked. Anyone who understands it would really cherish those who God used to bring them to Christ.
That's right.
Now, many of us here, of course, not. It wasn't through me or Pastor Elam, but whoever it is, honor them.
That's
what I'm trying to say with this point. Honor them, go find them, and honor them.
Amen.
What do you think?
Yes.
Number four. Your father in ministry.
Rich.
Now, you could be someone who has given your life to Christ in another church, came to this church, and that now understood what it means to serve God. Now you have a desire to serve God. Now you are either a pastor or a shepherd or someone who just does things for God. You now have a better interest in serving God. This person who birthed you into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, through him or her, you find yourself involved in the work of the Lord. Often fathers in ministry are lumped together with fathers in Christ. We generally call them spiritual fathers who have an input into your life. What do you think?
Yeah.
And very clear. I mean, I don't know about you, but Bishop Dakiwood Mills, God used him to put me into the ministry. And after that, Apostle Joel. That's just about it. I remember them. I can mention their names. What about you? What about you? What do you think? Very, very important. And that's why we honor Bishop Dyke, because he's someone who God has used to put us into the ministry. And many people give their lives to Christ. Actually, I got saved in Lighthouse. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why I remember Reverend Peter and Reverend Fifi, who helped me to understand a few things, helped me to sort out some. When I became a Christian, I was in a funny situation, one or two. And I kept on going to church. I'll be singing. I'll be sweeping the floor. I remember sweeping the floor. That was my duty. And then they asked me to be an usher. And I said, I can be an usher so long as I don't stop sweeping. So I kept on doing it. In Kensington, I kept on sweeping. And then became an usher. And then I was going to, but I was living with someone. I was still clubbing, all those things. And then I started going for prayer meetings. And then one day after the prayer meeting, they said, I know this person, he's shown that he needs the grace for us to talk to him. Yes, because many people, the fact that you are not being told about your problem should be a worry for you.
That's right.
If there's a problem and you are not being told about it, that should concern you.
That's right.
So these people said, wow, this guy has shown commitment. He's worthy of us sitting with him and talking. So they said, they want to talk to you, want to sit down, sit in the car. Reverend Peter and Reverend Fifi. And they spoke to me about the situation. And they didn't just speak to me, but they made way and organized another house for me to go and live in that house. They organized it. It's not... Hallelujah. I have to also remember that. They are the people who said, oh, David, how are you doing? Oh, I was living with a lady. I was drinking wine at that time. Or alcohol. Some. Oh, how are you doing? Oh, I'm at home. Where are you? Oh, I'm at home. Oh, Oh, David, that's very good. Oh, you are home, we are downstairs. I was furious. I was shouting in the house on the lady, just shout, not at her, but shouting, what kind of thing is this? What kind of church is this? I'm tired. What nonsense? This is the last time I'll let them come. After that, I will not have anything to do with them. What? But when a true man of God comes to your house and you are angry, by the time they finish, you are thanking God for them coming and you are happy and waiting for the next time they come to visit. You have to remember these people. What do you think? Substitute father. You see, I'm telling us, this is what God wants. Let's honor all these different people.
Amen.
Substitute father.
Hallelujah.
This type of father often replaces the biological father. The biological father may be unavailable because of death, divorce, or abandonment. Like what Antoinette was saying, it's very, very good. Okay, so you can identify. Yeah, your father. Maybe there are people whose fathers never looked after them; they never saw their father. Imagine you had that, and maybe you find out about your father, and you are getting married, and you give them that honor. God is not going to say, "Look at you, you are cheated." No, God will honor you for that, because you honor them.
Right.
But you also have substitute fathers. Maybe the father is passed away or the father has abandoned. And that person, whether it's a stepfather or whoever, or even if it's not a relative, someone who is not even a relative or an uncle or someone who is maybe a teacher or a pastor even, who decides to look after you, you have to honor them very well also.
That's right.
But then many people who, yes, thank you, that's it. Thank you, that's it. Thank you, that's it. No. Honor them. And I'm not just talking about just giving to them. I'm talking honor them by showing your reverence. Mention, when you honor someone, you talk about the person too.
Yes.
You talk about the person. You talk about the person. A substitute father is someone who steps into father a child when the real father is not around. What do you think? How many have had that substitute father situation? Yes. Don't take it lightly. Sometimes a mother can be a substitute father also, or an auntie, or an uncle, or a grandparent. Don't wrestle with them. Honor them.
Amen.
It means that
Amen.
The two of you, as you've said it, if they are alive by the grace of God, they know that you appreciate it. They know because of what you are doing for them.
Amen.
Because of what you are doing for them. Because of the money you are sending to them. Because of the cards you are sending. They should know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They should know it.
Amen.
What do you think?
That's it.
I tell you. If the person is not alive anymore, just there's nothing you can do. Just honor their memories.
That's right.
And look for someone who is doing something like that, and honor, tell God that, look, it's too late now, but I'll just honor the one who is passed away through this person. I don't know. By just also, at least I've understood it, and I'm honoring this person who is doing something similar, but it's too late to honor because I didn't understand at that time. But if they are alive, or even if they are sick, don't lose out.
Amen.
Your father-in-law, Exodus 3:1. Almost done. Exodus chapter 3 verse 1. Very, very important. This also goes to mothers. But we are talking, this Father's Day.
Amen.
But apply it to the woman also. Exodus 3:1. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he went deep into the wilderness near Sinai, the mountain of God. Your father-in-law can be another kind of biological father. Moses was greatly blessed through his father-in-law. He received important advice through his father-in-law.
Yeah.
And you've heard what I shared it about.
That's
the counseling. How many have heard? Do you know? In our church, UD, we don't owe, like all the many buildings all over the world, we don't owe a dollar.
That's right.
I don't know if you know that. The buildings in the UK, big buildings in the UK, we have, at least the last I knew long ago, we had two. I'm sure we have more. Plenty in Ghana, the Kadesh, different cathedral. Look, so many all over the world. No payment. We don't owe anything. Even the U.S., there's one. We don't owe anything. I thought there'll be claps. Oh. And you will not owe anything.
Amen.
I said, and you will not owe anything.
Amen.
You would have houses.
Amen.
You will have houses. I'm not talking about mortgage.
No.
I said, you will have houses.
Amen.
But do you know how he got that revelation? Through his father-in-law. Through his father-in-law, his wife's father. His wife's father. Because he told him that, you see this Mercedes, you see all these nice cars, they are dead. If they don't pay or they lose their job or they are sick, you see, they won't be driving, they'll come for it. But initially, Bishop was going to get loans, but they were not giving loans to church. And then, he got a revelation for his father-in-law. And we've tapped into the revelation.
That's it.
I said, we've tapped into the
Amen.
Revelation. I said, we've tapped into the revelation.
Amen.
May you know, credit card, those things.
No.
The devil has a way of messing us up with those things. I remember war on debt. I remember that you have this credit card and then you get points. I don't know if you've had that before. When you buy, you get points. So I used to use it. But I realized that the you use it, I'll pay it. I'll forget. I'll use it again. I'll pay it until 5, 6, 7, 8 thousand. After paying it, I said, this thing, I've seen it before. I've seen this thing. So now, unless I'm buying airline tickets, I only have one. Unless I'm buying airline tickets, I buy it and I know I pay it off. So sometimes I can buy something, 2,000, 3,000, and pay it off immediately.
That's
if
it.
I don't have the money, I don't use it.
That's
but that's not how I used to be. I used to just be like everybody else in spending. I was just a normal person who spends normally until Apostle Joel taught me. And I became abnormal. Oh, yeah. I remember my car. I had my first car. Whoo! Brand new Tierra. I have Tierra rubber before. Brand new car.
Wow.
As I had it and I was driving it, enjoying it, paying, I can't remember, at that time, 350 or a certain amount a month. Enjoying it. Apostle Joel said, oh, that's nice. Do you want to save? I'll give you a wisdom that is supernatural wisdom. Take the car back. I have a good car. Oh, I saved so much for that. I have a good car. He organized it and said, you can go and pick it up. And he negotiated the price already for me. He said, you'll lose money anyway. Wisdom. So I took the car back, put the money I lost on a credit card, maybe 4,000, 3,000, 4,000, no problem. Put it on a credit card, paid it off, had a new car. No monthly payment. I use that same wisdom, because when you learn wisdom, you can't keep it to yourself. So Reverend Mark and Angie were also in a situation where they were having Angie's new car. They were using their only car and joined the car. I said, I'm going to transfer to you certain wisdom. Sell the car. Take it back. No, don't waste your time. I'm going to look for. Just take it back to the dealership, any dealership. Make sure you have a good package. Give it to them. Put it in a credit card and then buy another car. It hurt them, but they did it. Now, debt free. Debt free. Debt free. They had a lot of debt, but debt free because they applied the principle. I'm also debt free by the grace of God. And I have, God has blessed me with certain things that have been, very soon the series of victories will be mentioned. God has given me one big series of victory that I've been waiting for many years. Has given it. I said many years. He's given it. Giving it. Two, three, and there's a fourth coming. Because I believe it. When there's a proclamation, Bishop says, this year is a year of a series of victories. I don't just take it, oh, yes, this, that. No. I take it and I expect it and I act upon it.
Amen. Wow.
And I'll never have that victory. It will never have crossed my mind. But I said, look, this thing, I have to do it. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. Father in church. Father of a church. Almost done. Father of a church. Like, who is the father of our church? Bishop Dyke Ward Mills. The father of a church is the founder of the church. Through his ministry, the church came into existence. So Bishop Dyke is the father of the UD. And that's why we honor him, because God used him. Hallelujah. How many have heard of John Wesley? We all hear of John Wesley. So he founded the Methodist Church. And this denomination, UD, Bishop Dyke Ward Mills, founded it. And we honor him for that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he's the father of the church. And 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, who are the instructors? At least for us. Oh, okay. For me. And for who? And for you. I don't know about you, but let's say for me and for Pastor Elam, the instructors are who? Who are your instructors? No, but Apostle is all connected to Bishop at the end. Who are your instructors? Who?
Other pastors.
I thought you mentioned some name. Other pastors outside of the UD. But the father is Bishop Dyke, at least in the church, the spiritual father. Hallelujah. Any other facts? But believe me, I have very good instructors. Very good instructors. That when, if I'm watching a video of the instructor, one of my instructors or two of my instructors, I can quote word for word. You understand?
Yeah.
As they are saying, John went to the hill, before they say it, I'll say it before. But they are instructors. It also means that I should be able to say it even more for my own father. You see, father of a movement. Abraham was the father of the faith movement.
Amen.
Kenneth Hagin was the modern day father of the faith movement. Anyone who is in the modern faith message, faith whatever, will link it to Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin linked it to Smith Wigglesworth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So father of a movement is important when there's a great move. Hallelujah. You see, Bishop is this kind of loyalty and church building, evangelism, church planting, work for God. You can tell that God is using him. Many pastors don't have that kind of thing, but they are thinking, they are having those thoughts now.
That's
Bishop's right. Book on loyalty and disloyalty, I saw one of the mega church pastors preaching from it, the stages of disloyalty. But he, of course, don't say this is Bishop Dag's book, but preaching from it. I've heard some of the TV evangelists, the wild people, I mean, like very famous people, preaching same things that people are preaching. I remember a pastor from DFW went for a conference, and they were hearing things that people were, were in awe of. Wow! Wow! But I know even deeper details from Bishop's books.
That's
deeper
right.
Details. So people are now understanding those things. But he's a father of some of those movements. Hallelujah. Father in sin. Yeah, there are fathers in sin and mothers in sin. One pastor in our church, I'll mention his name here, I'll let him tell us. When we were in the one of the camps, he mentioned it. I'll wait for him to say it. He was a virgin, went to church. In one of the our church in another country, went and was in the choir and the choir director slew him and broke his virginity. So you can have those. Someone who teaches you how to smoke, who teaches you how to take drugs, who teaches you how to club, who teaches you. There are some women who say, okay, friends, I'll teach you how to catch men. Oh, yeah. And they become expert slayers. Yeah. Oh, there are women like that too. It's not every church. There are some churches when you go and you meet a particular, you fall into a particular company, you'll be sleeping around and you'll be clubbing. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. Slaughter. No, I'm telling you. I'm talking for men and for women. Every church. This is too small yet. But every church. In this church, we'll see it. Why? No, we'll have to see it. It means that the church is growing. It will be sure. Every church that is growing will see it. Why? Then we thank God for it. Because it means that people who are in the world, who are in sin, are coming and being converted, being changed, and becoming better. And all these people will eventually stop all those things. You see what I'm saying? So it's important. We must see more sinners. I used to pray, I want prostitutes in the church. I want these drug addicts. And we saw all. We are going to see them.
Amen.
I said, we'll see them.
Amen.
We will see them.
Amen.
And then it shows that we are healthy.
Amen.
Imagine. Sorry? It's good for the system. Exactly. Yeah, good bacteria, bad bacteria. Mixture. Hallelujah. I see you doing well.
Amen.
I said, I see you doing well.
Amen.
I'm not out of word, I'm just out of time.
Wow.
Shall we stand to our feet?
Oh,
no. Thank you. Thank you. You do not honor the Father in sin. You rather convert or pray for the Father in sin. You don't honor. Very good. Shall we stand to our feet? Shall we speak to the Lord? You honor every father apart from the one in sin. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, God. Help
Let's
us
speak
to
the Lord.
God. Help us, Father. Help us, Father.
Ask the Lord to bless us.
Help us to honor, oh God, our spiritual fathers. Help us. Father, to honor our parents.
Oh, Jesus, we give you praise.
Help us, Holy
we give
Spirit.
You glory.
Help us, Holy Spirit.
Father. We give you
we honor.
Honor,
oh God, to our spiritual fathers that
yes.
will show honor. To our fathers in ministry, oh God, in the name
okay,
of Jesus.
Okay, whilst we're praying,
help us, Jesus.
If you are here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are watching and you don't know him, you are not born again, and you want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. This Father's Day, I want to surrender my heart to Jesus so that God can make me a real father. A father who is not just a biological father, but a father who has spiritual fruit, spiritual children. Then you can raise your hands and I'll pray with you. Shall we repeat after me? Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
I come
to you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess.
I confess.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe.
I believe.
That he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe.
I believe.
That God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
For saving me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's keep